We do well to revisit for just a moment a very important event in the life of Jesus told to us in Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Did you follow it carefully? Here's how it goes. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him,
"Hey Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread."
Jesus answered,
"No, you know it's written, man does not live on bread alone."
The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him,
"Look, here's the deal. I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours."
But Jesus answered,
"No, no, no. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said,
"Once again, if you are the Son of God, how about this? Throw yourself down from here. After all, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone."
But Jesus answered,
"What part of no do you not understand? It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test."
Well, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I know they were around a number of years ago, but did you watch the movie series Back to the Future? Yeah. Marty McFly was always getting in trouble whenever somebody did what? Whenever somebody said to him they wanted to get him to do something wrong or they wanted to get him to do something stupid, and they'd say, "What's the matter, McFly? Are you chicken?" And almost every time, Marty McFly would say, "Nobody calls me chicken." And then he would go on to do what they egged him on to do, no matter how wrong or stupid it was. Well, how did Satan pitch his offers to Jesus? Did he say, "What's the matter, Jesus? Are you chicken?" No, he didn't do that. But he used some really powerful psychological phrases on him. Did you catch it? Did you catch it, what he said each time? Did you notice? He said, "If you are the Son of God." Do you hear that conditional word, "if"? In a sneaky way, isn't he challenging Jesus' manhood, you know, right? A typical human reaction to that would be what? A question like that. What do you mean, if? What do you mean, if? Of course, I am who I say I am, and I can prove it to you, you old so-and-so. Watch this. And then go out and do that thing. Well, the powers of this world are sneaky, aren't they? Really sneaky. And at his baptism, you remember just a short while ago, Jesus had very clearly heard this voice. This voice say what? "You're my son. You are my son." Whose voice was that? That was the voice of God, so it must be true. Now the question is, what kind of son are you? In this experience with Jesus in the wilderness, being tempted, we're about to find out what kind of Son of God Jesus really is. We get an intimate understanding of Jesus by what he rejects. Okay? That's the point for today. After all, what is Jesus' basic answer to each of Satan's offers, each of his suggestions, each of his temptations? What does he basically say? Actually, in the text, the word's not there. We put it in the reading today, but it's implied Jesus' basic answer is, Satan wants him to say yes. Jesus says no. He says no. What a powerful word. In our day and time, we're kind of encouraged not to be negative, you know? Phrase things in such a way so that you don't have to say no. You can put it in a positive way. But Jesus is not a chicken. Jesus says no. And you ought to know that you are very much defined by what you say no to. Did you know that? What you reject says volumes about who you are. One of the big things that Satan offered Jesus was a career in government. Did you notice that? If you are the Son of God, why don't you do some good by the greatest power that we know here on planet Earth, and that is politics. There's an ongoing debate taking place in our nation right now, isn't there? Where does true effective power come from? Does it come from the government, or does it come from the people? You know, is it business that creates jobs, or is it the overarching hand of the government that does that? I wouldn't be at all surprised if you have an opinion about that. I really wouldn't. If you listen to Satan, he is saying, all this political clout has been given to me, and I can give it to anybody I want to. You just worship me, and I'll put you in charge of the world. Did you ever wonder who put Satan in charge of the world to be able to give this power? Well, I wonder if he was lying. Well, he's Satan, after all. Maybe he was lying. But Jesus, doesn't matter whether he believes Satan or not. What's his answer? He says, no. And then he quotes from God's first words to the Hebrews as they stood on the threshold of the promised land. And God says to them, I gave you this good land. You are my people. I own you. I'm very jealous. Now don't you go in there and worship any of the other gods who are around here. Just worship me alone. Now, you and I might be tempted to use political power, but Jesus resists such a temptation, and he knew that it was really an attempt for him to submit to identity theft. Identity theft is a real problem in our day and time, and Satan was trying to pull it on Jesus. What kind of Messiah are you anyway? How about this? Go with the politics. Go with the government. It works. Jesus wasn't fooled. It was a temptation to lay aside his dangerous mission for more agreeable work, you know, being in charge. But then he would not have ended up to be the Son of God that he was meant to be. Now, when that didn't work, you know, Satan offered a few other major things, other offers. Hey, if you'll just feed people, they'll love you. They will follow you and you'll have it made. Oh, no, you don't want that? Okay. Well, how about if you just go out and wow them with miracles? You'll really impress them, and then they'll follow you. And you'll have all this savior of the world business all wrapped up in a neat little bundle. Go that way. We won't bother to analyze these other options today. We're just going to stick with the main point that Jesus, to each of them, he said, heck no. That's a word that you need to use today too. No. Why? Because what you reject reveals where you stand, and it says volumes about who you are. It's as simple as that. You know, many years ago, my dad was a salesman for Reynolds Metals Company, and he was attending a business seminar in another city one week. And one evening, all the men were gathering together in a room in the motel area there, and there was a projector and a screen all set up, and Dad thought everybody was getting together for a training film. Well, when the projector came on, he quickly realized that these guys were all set to watch a pornographic movie. And Dad just immediately stood up and very quietly said, "Excuse me," and stepped out of the room. He didn't make a scene. He didn't give a speech. But all the guys knew it right away. They knew that Cliff Ellison wasn't the sort who wanted pornography in his life. that he stood for something a lot more decent. I think Dad gave a very good witness that day just by saying, no, no. I heard a really good, well-known preacher in his day. His name was Stuart Grizzard. And I heard him tell about the time that he was attending a St. Louis Cardinals ball game. The Southern Baptist Convention was meeting in St. Louis that summer. This is back in the 60s. And he was attending the game, and so was a very well-known preacher of that day, W.A. Criswell. He was the fiery fundamentalist pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas. And he was at the game, too. And Grizzard said that he was watching as Grizzard was sitting there on the end of the row watching a game, and somebody on Grizzard's row called for a beer from the beer vendor who was coming up the aisle. And he said Grizzard watched Criswell as the guy was pouring that beer. He could tell he just didn't like it, didn't like that at all. And when the vendor handed Criswell the beer to pass down the aisle, Criswell suddenly shouted as loud as he could, "I never touched the stuff!" And he said the beer vendor slung beer for six rows. He jumped so much. Whoa! Now, you don't have to shout it when you say no, but you do have to say no. And, you know, alcohol is a really good thing to say no to. It is. Because you're saying, no, I don't plan to make a fool of myself. Or, no, I don't need garbage that destroys brain cells. I don't need the stuff that ruins lives and ruins relationships. No, you can just say no thanks. But you're actually saying yes to good health. You're actually saying yes to clear thinking and responsible living and a quality of life, right? And that holds true for if you're offered marijuana or if you're offered recreational drugs or anything that has sugar in it, okay? You just need to say no. You people who go here, explain that to the new people, okay? You say, no, that's what, I don't want that tearing down this temple that God made and gave to me. No. In Genesis, we read a whole lot about a guy named Joseph, right? You remember how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he's taken to Egypt, and he is a slave. He's got it really, really bad. Until his gifts are recognized, and he is placed up in put in charge in Potiphar's house. He is the man in charge. He takes care of everything. Potiphar doesn't worry about nothing. But Potiphar's wife gets the hots for this good-looking Hebrew boy, and she keeps on inviting him to share her bed. Come on, be with me. And she is just bugging him to bed down with her. And Joseph says what? He says no. He says it time and time again. He would never do such a thing. It was against the will of God. It was a terrible thing to do to his boss. It was a violation of his trust. It was just plain wrong. He said no. And you know what happened, right? Potiphar's wife was so ticked off at him that she falsely accused him of attacking her. And poor Joseph was thrown back into prison, back where he started from, square one, just suffering badly. But how do we know that Joseph is a good man, a godly man, trying to follow the ways of God? The world would have said to him, hey, what's the big deal? Just make her happy, you know. Wouldn't you have fun doing this? Just go ahead, Joseph, do it. But Joseph says no. That's how we know Joseph is a good man. His integrity was not for sale. A woman wears a wedding ring, right? Because why? Because when some guy asked her to marry him, she said yes. Now, whenever some other guy comes along and he invites her out for a date or he invites her to enter in a relationship with him, what's her answer? Well, the answer is no. It's always no. It's no because of what she said yes to. It's no, but she's saying yes to being a faithful woman, a committed person, a gal who keeps her promises. a good wife. Oh, the power and the spiritual significance of the word no. Now, I'm just curious. What are you saying no to today? And are you sticking to your guns? The truth of the matter is, as explained in the Bible today, is that the evil forces at work in the world today are sneaky. And they are relentless. They will keep coming back to you. And the way that temptations are presented, they're presenting something that's really bad, but making it look good. Okay? And you got to know that. And you got to know what you're saying no to. Are you good at recognizing that? Knowing bad stuff is being bad stuff. And then, you know, we're tempted over and over again, aren't we? From a different angle, from a different slant, a different pitch. So, how about this? Oh, no. How about that? Oh, this won't hurt anybody. Just go ahead and do this, right? Sneaky. Like Jesus, we've got to be prepared to be able to say no again and again and again. And you need to know why you're saying no. What did Jesus do each time he said no? He quoted scripture, right? As to why, what he was saying yes to. He said, no, I'm saying no because God said this. You ought to do the same thing. You ought to know why you're doing right and doing what you're saying yes to. And perhaps you need to apologize today to God for not saying no to some stuff you should be saying no to. You know? And maybe you need to screw up your courage to say no to something that's being shoved in your face these days. But you're waffling. You're dilly-dallying. If you're supposed to say no, say it. Do it. Because remember, what you say no to works on the positive side to define who you are and what you are in the sight of God and in the sight of all human beings. It defines you. So may God bless you with his power when the Spirit comes into your heart and says, just say no. Say no. Now that's a powerful word. Can you say it with me now? Say no. Now say it like you mean it. Say no. Say no. Oh, you people are so negative. You get my mind. All right, you practice it, and we'll do it, and God will be at work in our lives.